use of the Berkeley Inn. Since a fire 2 years ago destroyed the Berkeley Inn, the structure has sat abandoned at Telegraph and Haste Street. Mayor Lonnie Hancock is optimistic about using this venture as a model for future projects.
It's a major step forward because the city has been negotiating to buy the Berkeley Inn for a number of years, and we were extremely concerned that we would end up bidding against the university, and with the agreement, we've decided to go forward together.
The city and campus staff have yet to meet to dig into this new project.
Unclear right now what the configuration would be, but the city will have the same number of single-room occupancy hotel affordable housing units available, and the university will also be able to have some student housing. And we will be working in the next few weeks to put together what a real package would look like.
The city and university have agreed, however, to pay the fair market value for the property. Further studies will be made on the possibilities of purchasing the adjacent lands for this joint venture between the university and city of Berkeley. Authorities now say that they believe a 13-year-old Dublin girl who vanished while walking home from school this week was kidnapped. The FBI, which is helping Dublin police investigate the disappearance of Eileen Michaloff, said yesterday they will treat the case as an abduction. Eileen's parents, Madeline and Mike, were convinced their daughter was kidnapped Monday afternoon on her way home from an ice skating lesson at Dublin, Iceland. Dublin police have said they weren't ruling anything out, but that they didn't think the quiet youngster ran away from home. They also don't believe her disappearance has anything to do with the recent abduction of two other East Bay Area girls. The Michaloff family has been comforted by parents of other Bay Area missing children, Kevin Collins of San Francisco and Amber Swartz-Garcia of Pinole. Meanwhile, volunteers yesterday continued to post about 70,000 flyers in describing the missing girl throughout the Contra Costa County. Eileen is 5'3", 115 pounds, with curly brown hair and brown eyes, and she has braces on her teeth. Anyone with information about the Michaloff girl can call this toll-free number, 1-800-635-6306. Well, Superintendent Honig is making sure to improve the quality of education for California students. Here to file his report is Imran Ghori.
Superintendent Honig unveiled a plan yesterday for better health and physical education. The program, called Healthy Kids, Healthy California, will concentrate on six important areas: health education, physical education, health services, nutrition, counseling services, and safety services. Susie Lang, a spokesperson for Honig, says, in the past, approaches to health education have been disjointed and fragmented. Lang says the program will be much more unified.
And we'll be trying to really launch a much more concerted effort statewide to get everyone's attention, parents and community people as well as kids, about the importance of making good decisions about their health and fitness.
Lang says the problems of California's youth are very serious.
We have the second highest teen pregnancy rate in the country. In some surveys, we have received information that 42% of our high school juniors have tried drugs. 66% of them have used alcohol. Suicide's now the second leading cause of death among young people 15 to 24 years of age.
According to the report, the physical fitness of today's children are worse than they have ever been. Lang cites cases where first graders have been found with dangerous cholesterol levels. Lang says they will start the program by sending model curriculum outlines to teachers in the coming months. Imran Ghori, KALX News.
Federal health officials say one out of every six cases of measles in the U.S. last year occurred in Los Angeles County. The Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta says an outbreak among mostly Hispanic toddlers is to blame. Health officials say L.A.'s experience shows a need to vaccinate 1 to 4-year-olds nationwide. In San Francisco Supervisor Harry Britt is drafting a law that would make city and private sector workers be eligible for bereavement and sick leave benefits for the death and illness of their unmarried partners. A similar plan, intended for gay workers and unmarried male-female couples, was passed by the Board of Supervisors more than 6 years ago, but was vetoed by Mayor Dianne Feinstein as too vague. Britt recently announced that he planned to revive the legislation, saying Mayor Art Agnes has promised to support it. Britt also believes his colleagues will pass the law. California's Supreme Court has thrown out a state program that requires mentally ill convicts to be confined to mental hospitals after finishing prison terms for violent crimes. The unanimous decision yesterday upholds a lower court ruling that found the so-called mentally disordered offender program unconstitutional. About 150 people are in the program, which began in July 1986, most of them at the Atascadero State Hospital. It was ruled invalid first by California's Second District Court of Appeal because it allowed confinement of a person who would otherwise be released, without any showing of dangerous or grave disability. Coming up next, in a symbolic gesture, Congress kills motion for 51% pay increase. Some lawmakers say House Speaker Jim Wright's plan to scale back a controversial pay raise for legislators may not fly. Wright's idea involves letting the 51% hike take effect automatically next Wednesday, then rolling it back to 30% with a two-thirds majority vote. But Iowa Congressman Tom Talk says finding that many people to vote for the trim down will be tough. But Republican Bob Smith of New Hampshire knows how his constituency feels.
My mail and phone calls are not saying give you a 30% raise rather than a 50% raise. They're saying no raise.
Last night, the Senate slammed down the proposed raise 95-5. However, the vote is viewed as largely symbolic. Also in Washington, the nation's economy cranked out 400,000 new jobs last month, more than expected, and the rate of pay raises also advanced. Still, figures released by the Labor Department show the unemployment rate inched up 0.1% to 5.4%. The first major look at the economy this year shows continued strong growth, something economists have said could ignite inflationary fears and perhaps move the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates. Also in Washington, President George Bush is trying to come up with a solution to the nation's savings and loan crisis. When he met with congressmen from both parties this morning, he said he was willing to listen to their ideas.
We got a big problem in this savings and loan. There's no easy answers, and no worrying about blame. Plenty to go around. I want to see the problem solved. We've had a lot of consultation up on the Hill, and good consultation.
That consultation was also viewed as productive by Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell. Apparently, we can't bring that. The president will outline his savings and loan plan to Congress next Thursday. And now we'll have sports with Dave Miller. Dave, what happened to the Cal Bears last night?
Oh, thanks, Peter. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't on TV, fortunately, for Cal fans. Well, the Cal men's basketball team hung tough against the Arizona Wildcats for the first half. However, the second half of basketball proved to be a nightmare for Luke Campanelli and the Bears. The Bears went into the locker room at the half, trailing the Wildcats by only 5 points, 35-30, but a more Wildcat-like second half, which included a 16-0 spurt down the stretch, was just too much for Cal as they were beaten 86-59 last night in Arizona. That's 30 wins in a row for Arizona at the McHale Center. Sean Elliott had 26 points for Cal. They were led by Keith Smith, 16. Leonard Taylor was completely shut down last night, winding up with only 8 points, his season low. Cal will play ASU on Saturday. The Sun Devils in all sorts of turmoil down there. Their head coach, Steve Patterson, really under the gun, taking a lot of heat from the local media. Other scores in the college ranks last night, a couple of upsets. In the top 20 play overnight, the Purdue Boilermakers spoiled the visit of number 2 Illinois and beat them 76-72. The Duke Blue Devils dropped their fourth game in five, this time in Atlanta. Georgia Tech beat the 12th-rated Devils 81-76. In the NBA, the Warriors rolled over New Jersey by a score of 127-113 last night. It's their seventh straight victory at home and their ninth win in the last 10 games, but they were 7 points behind midway through the third quarter before scoring the first 7 points of the fourth period to take over the lead. The home crowd in Oakland saw Mitch Richmond score 32 points, and Terry Teagle had 22 Lester Connor, former Warrior, had a triple-double for the Nets. Other scores in the NBA last night: New York 125, Cleveland 109, Seattle 100, the Heat 93, Chicago 109, Sacramento 98. Michael Jordan had 40 points. Denver 112, Atlanta 103. In baseball, Bill White, a former major leaguer and broadcaster for the New York Yankees for the past 18 years, has been picked to succeed A. Bartlett Giamatti as National League president, becoming the first black to head a major professional sports league in the United States. Giamatti will take over as baseball commissioner for Peter Ueberroff. The 49ers have protected all their Super Bowl starters from free agency, leaving 19 players as unconditional free agents, including veterans Tom Homo and Mike Wilson, a couple players that could start for a lot of teams in the NFL. And quickly, we'll look at what's in store for Cal Sports later today and tonight. Men's swimming in Arizona, men's baseball, travels to Fresno State to take on the Bulldogs, a couple of teams that were in the College World Series a year ago. And women's basketball tonight at Harmon Gym versus Arizona State starts at 7:35 and can be heard on KALX. That's a look at sports.
Thank you, Dave. In international news, Paraguay's official radio service this morning said President Alfredo Stroessner has given up power following a coup by the country's number two army commander. General Andres Rodriguez says he's taking control of Paraguay as of now and says Stroessner is being held by a military unit. Rodriguez says he staged the revolt to restore democracy and human rights. In Central American Nicaraguan leader Daniel Ortega has diplomatic words about elections in his country next year. He says the Sandinista government will hand over power if the opposition wins. Ortega says the Sandinista Liberation Front is still the largest party, but he says whoever wins the election can't take control and deal with the country's economic troubles. Philippine Vice President Salvador Laurel heads from Honolulu today back home, and he says he'll help former President Ferdinand Marcos do the same. Laurel says the exiled leader is near death and should be allowed to return. Laurel met with Marcos without the blessing of President Corazon Aquino. The ailing Marcos has sent a letter to Aquino requesting permission to die in the Philippines, but Aquino has not announced her decision. Back in the United States, for the second night in a row, trouble erupted in Tampa, Florida neighborhood last night. Rioters in the predominantly black neighborhood threw rocks and bottles and set trash bins on fire. Tensions were first set on edge Wednesday night when a suspected drug dealer died in police custody. Hoping to prevent last night's violence, police had released details of the black man's arrest. They say the 300-pound man, who had to be subdued by eight officers, was not beaten or choked, but died of cardiac arrest. And that's it for today's edition of the Morning Calx News. Tune in every weekday at 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for the latest in news, weather, and sports. Special thanks go to my engineer, Lucy Valladares, and have a good day.